Know that we are so blessed to be here today. And if you are a visitor with us, we are doubly blessed by your presence. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to a place that you don't know and trying to meet people that you've never met before. We want you to know that you are very special to us. I'd love to meet you before you leave. I know I met a few of you this morning already. But please at least come shake my hand. I won't bother you with anything. I just want to say thank you for coming and just see your face and be able to connect your face with your name. So that I can know you that you've been here, and I'll be praying for you this week. And please fill out one of those cards. We don't do anything obnoxious with it. I just will put a letter out that says thank you for coming, and then I'll just pray for you by name this week. So please fill that out before you leave so that we can know that you've been here. Apparently today is National Scout Day. How did I miss that? Garrison, where are you at, buddy? Thank you for wearing your uniform, reminding us of all that. I should have brought my uniform, and I can still fit in that, right? Maybe. Oh, well. But we could try, right? We have been talking the last few weeks about this season of Advent, and it's not very complicated. Basically, all that happened in the Old Testament happened, and then God got really quiet. And there was like 400 years where prophets weren't talking, and there was this quiet, and they were excited because God had spoken a lot about something that was coming, and then he was just quiet. And people were waiting. And that is the Advent, that expectation that something's going to happen. And God's going to send this great king and enters Jesus. And it's like, and he's a baby. And it just threw everybody off. And he's notorious for that, flipping everything on its head. And so that's what we're celebrating, is this moment when the Advent is realized and all that expectation happens, because in comes Jesus. And then he leaves. And now we're in a second Advent in which we are waiting for him to return. And while that happens, we are doing the work of Jesus in the world as the church. That's the whole Bible right there, rolled into one concept. And I want you to celebrate with me that right now, this season is really significant, because a lot of people are looking for God and they're open to that. And for good reason, because this marks a very, very significant time in history of the world and the history of the church. And the history of what God is doing among his people. It is this time of year that we celebrate the breaking of silence of 400 years. When God spoke to his people very loudly in the word, literally, of Jesus Christ. I started a couple weeks ago. We talked about Jeremiah 33 and how God was so excited. He gets excited about what he's going to do. And this is one of those passages where he is just celebrating what he's about to do in Jesus. And I pointed out to you that God was excited about Jesus. He's come and gone. Now he's excited about you. You are what God is excited about. He's got dreams and vision for your life and what he's going to do through and in you. And then we learned about how God always prepares what he's going to do. He sent Elijah before Elisha. He sent John the Baptist before Jesus. And now he is sending you before the Holy Spirit. And I made the statement that God uses your clumsy to make himself clear. Your clumsy, all of your fear and brokenness about stepping out and doing what God has called you to do. No matter how clumsy it is, guess what? God uses that very thing to bring about his clear message. And today I want to take that idea a little further and look at the other side of it. After we step out and we prepare the way, and God shows up to do something, to save the day. I think about this coming Wednesday, the 16th, December 16th, is Julie and I's, get this, 20th wedding anniversary. I mean, does that not just sound like swallowing a marble or something? I mean, it's just big, right? 20, yes, two whole decades. I think about that. And I think when I was getting married back in the day, when we were, you know, just love and busy with just talking about the future, and we were planning and dreaming and all these things were going on. Our hearts were soaring and racing. And I think 20 years. Wow. It's amazing. It really is. And those of you who have met that milestone, and many others, two and three times, I dare say, that milestone, you know how significant that is. But I think back to the days when we were dating, and maybe it was just me, but I wanted to impress my girl. I wanted to be the best I could be. I had to say the right things. It was just great pressure to perform, to be that perfect boyfriend, fiance, husband, right? Because I was having to model something that was absolutely true, right? Everybody nod with me, right? I was going to be the perfect husband. You know what? I found out I was not the perfect husband. It was quite a shocker last week when I learned this. Took me 20 years, but I think I got it. But I realized, you know, what is that about? Why am I so overwhelmed by that? Why? We do silly things, don't we? We say the most bizarre things. We brush our teeth twice. You know, we put on clothes 3 or 4 times. We've got to be just right because there's so much anxiety around that. We've just got to present this image. To get married, to then show everything and to be exposed for years. It's like, why would we do that? It's silly, right? And we think about it looking back and we think, why do we do that? Why is it so desperate that we put our best foot forward? What is the concern there? Why is it that we do so much to just get this little bit of affirmation? And I look back and I think it's because I didn't want this woman that I had fallen head over heels in love with to think of me as simple. Or dare I say, weird. Can you relate to that? Because if I say the wrong thing, if I do the wrong thing, if I express something the wrong way, there's a tremendous risk that maybe, just maybe, she might go, oh. And you've seen that look, that oh kind of look. And it's like suddenly all my dreams are shattered because I didn't show up to the party right, you know? And there's all this anxiety. And I think sometimes we connect that with our Christian walk. We're afraid to be seen strange or weird or odd. Maybe a little strange like this guy. Go ahead and push play.
What do you think the meaning of life is?
To live and to live in a mystery and to find purpose and to live in the now. Magic. Now. Life is a paradox. It's a mirror of confusion. So, love now. Live in the moment. Don't get old. Don't judge people because you can't be free if you judge people. Love now.
Or maybe you've seen this guy before. And we don't want to be seen like this guy, do we? What do when you see this guy? You drive up and you slip out a dollar bill. And it's a payoff, isn't it? Oh, I just spoke the truth. Everybody got quiet. It's a payoff. Because I don't want to be associated. I don't want to know your name. I don't want to buy you a meal and sit down with you because, well, I might get associated with you. And then I would be that guy. And that guy doesn't get the girl, does he? That guy is the one who's just over there. You can feel that strangeness, right? Well, what if that guy was this guy? Who warned you to come to church? You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. Who told you that you were going to burn in hell where you deserve? Now you're in here trying to get out of it. How do you feel about that guy? He's even weirder, right? Right? You feel that awkwardness, right? It moves quick. Here's what I want to point out. This is John the Baptist. This is what he did. And this is who we are. And we don't like that, do we? I think it's something about that reality, that concern that we would be seen like this, that makes us hide from what God has called us to do. It's almost like you see the guy on television who holds the John 3:16 sign. And we all go in our head, oh, I'm glad for him. But I'm not going to be that guy, right? Not that he's wrong or bad or weird, but he's just weird, right? We just get that mental image and we don't want to associate ourselves with that. Shame on us. And at the same time, we see a Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow doesn't just go, right? He just does the whole dance. His whole life is overt and loud about God. And we say, well, that's great for Tim Tebow. But in our saner moments, we might say something like, yeah, but he's damaging his witness because he's shoving his faith down everybody's throat, right? Think about it. See, I think when we look at people and we distance ourselves from this, from the John the Baptist, when we push those guys away, what we're really saying is that we don't want to have an opportunity to be like them. We want an excuse to not be like them. So how in the world does a guy like this, with that sign, have any kind of confidence at all? How does he step into the world boldly? And that's the question you have, right? If I've got to look like that, if I'm going to step out into the world and bumble in and be broken and be exposed and awkward and be the one who doesn't get the girl, what in the world, God, are you going to do that's going to make me feel comfortable with this? Well, John has a good answer. And I'm going to take this off because it's really hot. God has an answer for this. If you got your Bible, turn over to Luke. We're going to look at what John the Baptist himself says about it. In Luke chapter 3, we read this little soliloquy of John the Baptist. And you'll recognize some of these words, but I'll just start in verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to this. Just soak it in. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, people are coming to your church to be baptized, and this is what you say. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Uh-oh. That's fire and brimstone preaching there. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we're Abraham, and he's our father. For I tell you that out of the stones God can make more children of Abraham. You're not that special. Now, how would you feel if I started my sermon that way? The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, God is already chopping you down to burn you up. That's how he starts his sermon. These are the ones who are coming out to be baptized. Now, that is strange and intense. The crowd says this, though. Remember, John's job is to set the tone for Jesus, to open the door, to prepare the way. And he is with all his bumbly out there right now. Okay, he's eating locusts. He's wearing camel. He's got the long beard. He's just smelling funny. He's that guy who's saying these words. And everybody's going, what is going on with him? But look at how they respond. What should we do then? The crowd says. We've heard that before, right? John, remember in Acts 2? Peter says, y'all killed Jesus. And they said, well, what do we do now? Repent and be baptized, he says. They say, what do we do now? John answers, the man who has two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Go do right. And the tax collector said, well, what should we do, teacher? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Don't be a snake in the grass. Then the soldiers came and they said, well, what do we do? He says, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. And be content with your pay, for goodness sakes. Can you just hear the dynamic of this? Live right. Do right by God. That's why he's wanting to burn you up, because you're talking all this stuff, but you're not doing it. God expects faith to work. And this is powerful, right? The people were waiting expectantly. There's our Advent word. They're expectantly. And they were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the one they were waiting on. The Christ. Nobody speaks like this. Maybe he is the Christ. But listen to what John says. Now frame it for a minute. John, the weirdo, the extreme, loud, fire and brimstone preacher, the prophet, the bumbly, the clumsy, the one who's setting that tone, okay? It was very clear who he is. Listen to what he says. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to even untie. I'm not high enough on the status to wash his feet, is what he's saying. And that was a servant's job. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he will baptize you with fire. Now that is something you can be excited about. John the Baptist knew what was going on. Then he continues. He says, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. And he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and he preached, get this part, good news. Now, did you catch that? When do you feel like this may be good news? Weirdo yells and screams fire and brimstone. And you say, he says, grow up and live right. Faith works. Do something about it. Let me give you some specifics. That's good news. Because when we do that, guess what? God is with us. And he's not only telling them to do what he's doing. He's walking before Jesus. And he says, look, I have nothing. I'm broken. I'm tore up from the floor up just like you are. You're going to have to get right. I'm going to have to get right. But guess what? There is someone else who's coming. And he is going to be so amazing. I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. He is the God of the universe. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And with fire, he's going to literally change your whole world. I'm just a guy. But he is the Lord. So I can be as loud as I want with you because I'm just like you. I'm yelling at all of us. We all need to get right because he's coming. And when he comes, I want you to be ready for what he has to say to you. That is good news, church. God has called us to fill that role. He has called us to be the one to go out and to say the things that make people sometimes uncomfortable. Not on purpose, you know better than that. I'm not suggesting we'd be like this guy, believe me. There's so many ways to do that. And yet that is great. God has called us to step into the world and to bring things up in a way. Because truth be told, just like John the Baptist said, there are areas we need to grow up in. There are things in our lives. And all of you know what they are. Things where you know what's right and you're faithful in your brain, but your hands are completely disconnected. That is the very definition of integrity, when the insides and the outsides line up. John the Baptist would be speaking to you and say, let's let your hands look like your mind. I know you like God and you want to serve God, but guess what that means? If you've got two tunics, you give one to someone who doesn't have. If you've got two kinds of food, you share, you love, you serve, you do whatever's necessary to bring blessing to the world around you. Because that is what God wants. And one of the ways that we do that is we go forth and we live our life a little out loud. And we risk looking like that guy. And risk is good. I think that's why we're afraid. Because we're afraid if we go out there and we say what's really right and wrong, then someone might see us like this. And that means they're going to see us for all of our brokenness. Remember the perfect husband? Julie has seen that. That ship has sailed. That's horrifying. You mean I'm going to have to be real and you're going to see me for, we don't want to do that. And I think it's because either A, we don't love the people enough who God has sent us to, or B, we don't trust God enough that he's the one sending. And it's our action that really speaks to our faith, because faith works. Here's the good news for the day. What John the Baptist is saying is, I am coming to start something. But whatever I start, there's one coming who's going to finish it. Whatever you start in faith, God will finish. God always finishes whatever you start in faith. In faith is important. We're not talking about just doing whatever you want to do. It's when God calls you to something and God moves you and you respond. Whatever you start in faith, God will finish. He always does. So what? Why don't you start something? Just like John the Baptist said, I want you to start something. I want you to do something that may risk this, that may put you in uncomfortable places. But don't forget, the promise of God is that you are just a man or a woman, just like John the Baptist. You are nothing special, but you get to take part in something grandiose. And God promises that whatever you start, He will finish. Isaiah 55:11 says that the word of the Lord never returns void. What it's saying is that when God says something, it will happen. It's not going to be wasted. Remember the last time we read about God speaking, what happened? Let there be. There it was. He says it, and even if it's not real, it becomes real because He said it. That is the word of the Lord. And Jesus came as the word of the Lord. And He says that you now are the ones. You're the hands. You're the feet. You're the second incarnation waiting for the second advent of Jesus. You are the one. There's no backup plan. You are literally the only sermon someone will ever hear by the way you live. By the way you share your food and share your heart and love people and are kind when people are rude to you. It's those things that make you special because you join with God in His work. And He promises that whatever you start in faith, He will finish. It will not come back void. You're Acts 29. You are the rest of the story. Quite frankly, you bring the rest to the story. You are the front line for Jesus. We are co-laborers. We are co-workers, if you will. When you start something in faith, God always shows up to change the world, to make it more like heaven. In our prayer, we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in where? In heaven. You hear that connection? His disciples said, Jesus, what do we pray? You want to pray? This is what you pray. You pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus set this prayer into our church and said, I want you to pray this way because that's what God is doing. He is bringing heaven onto the earth through you. But it works in reverse too. Did you know that? Jesus also says, whatever you bind on earth will also be bound where? In heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will also be loosed in heaven. There's a correlation with heaven and earth. And God has set it up that way because we are co-laborers. And I used to think, well, that's just for the apostles. Well, actually, in Matthew 16, He says that to Peter with the apostles present. But it's very clear the context is larger. And in two chapters later in Matthew 18, the context is when you're having trouble with other brothers and sisters, when there's conflict and when there's tension. Now, does that apply to anybody in here? Don't lie. Right? We've all been in that. When that happens, I want you to go to the person and love them and then take somebody with you and then bring it to the church, work it out, and whenever two or more are gathered, I am there. And whatever you bind on earth, guess what? It's bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. God has brought us into something that is extra-worldly because we are His representation on this world. Period. There is no backup plan. We prepare the way and the Spirit comes in. And that is why John the Baptist could be so bold. That is why John the Baptist could act like he did. Because he knew it wasn't about him. I'm just doing my part. I'm just a human like you. But guess what? There's another one coming. You might not think much of me. I may be a broken minister. But there's someone coming to your life. And I'm just trying to get you ready for it. Someone great. Who wants to do amazing things in and through and by you. And that is why we celebrate. That is why it's good news. Because God wants to join with you and bring heaven and earth together. So I want you to start something in faith. And this is what I want you to do. This is very specific, okay? I want you to invite people to church in the falls. I want you to invite people to church in the falls. And Andy Stanley has a really great way to frame this. And I'm going to share this with you because it is brilliant. And I couldn't think of a better way to say it, okay? He uses a system he calls the three knots. And I want to suggest it to our church. The three knots. Whenever you hear one of these three knots, your immediate reaction is, hey, you ought to come to church with us. The first one is, I'm not going to church anywhere. That's pretty obvious, right? If you're having a conversation with someone and somehow they bring up that they're not coming to church anywhere, you need to invite them to church because they're asking. That's an easy one. How many times have you been talking about, yeah, well, Sunday morning I went out fishing, you know, because I'm not going to church anywhere. Oh, well, you ought to come to church with me. Really? Guarantee. It's a 90% win there. If you hear, I'm not going to church, you need to invite them to church in the falls. Say it with me. Not going to church. Listen for the knot. If you hear the knot, that's your cue. Go for it. A second knot is things are not going well. How many times have you come up to someone at the workplace? Hey, John, how's it going? Oh, it's going all right. Oh, really? Yeah, what's going on? Well, you know, just, I don't know. Boss is kind of irritating today. I don't know what his problem is. It's just not going like I expected them to. You know what? You need to come to church with me. We pray for people who are in tough situations. And you know what they're thinking? If they're an atheist, they're thinking, yeah, that's good for you. That's kind of kind of you to ask. If they're a believer who's astray, they're thinking, maybe I should get back to church. Maybe. Thanks for inviting me. If they're a believer looking, you know what? That's a real thank you. Where do you go to church at? Tell me about your church. That is the natural reaction. Nobody's offended by that. Things are not going well. They're not going as I expected. They're not going like I expected them to. My wife is trying to divorce me. It's just not going well right now. I'm so sorry to hear that. You ought to come to church with me. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. You'll be amazed at the response you'll get. Not going to church, not going well. The third one is not from here. This one's real easy too. You're sitting there, you're getting your hair cut. A lady named Luba walks out to cut your hair. She has an accent. Oh, I like your accent. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from the Ukraine. Oh, really? So did you grow up here? No, I'm not from here. I moved here a couple years ago. Really? You ought to come to church with me. Really? Yeah, we got nice people. You'll meet some friends. You're always welcome. That's probably the hardest jump to make. The first two are easy, though, let's be honest. The third one, I'm not from here. I'm new to the area, but listen for the knot. I want to give you permission not to invite anybody unless God puts the knot in their mouth. Now, here's the crazy thing. You're going to be listening for, yeah, my wife is leaving me. Things are rough, and you're leaning in for the knot. Yeah, it's been really tough. Sometimes I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Car got towed the other day. And you think, okay, maybe you're not going to say the knot. And things are just not going well. All right, you need to come to church. I mean, you're ready. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. God will put the knot in their mouth. And they'll say it and you'll smile. Because God has already prepared the way for you to prepare the way for Him. It's amazing how He does that. And if you're listening for the knots, you're going to be open-minded. And you're going to be shocked by what God will do with you. And you're saying, I'm just a human. I go to church. I want to invite you. That's all you're doing. Real simple. You're listening for the knots. Not going to church. Not going well. Not from here. Pretty simple, right? I want it to be a cue in your mind. When you hear a knot, oh, knot. What is he talking about? Not expecting. Not going to church. Not going. He's not going well. I need to invite him to church. And just say, hey, you ought to come to church with me. Really? Why? We're just nice people. We just love the Lord. We'll pray for you. No, that's okay. All right. Well, you're always welcome. I'm going to pray for you anyways. People are never offended by that. Even in our political correct world, they are not offended by that. I promise you. And if they are, they are one in a million. You don't even have to worry about this. I'm telling you right now. Three knots. Say them with me. Not going to church. Not going well. Not from here. Pretty simple, right? When you hear that, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start something. Because when you do that, when you open the door, you join a legacy. Just like Elijah led to Elisha. And all his bumbling, Elisha came with a double portion of the Spirit. And just like John the Baptist comes with Jesus, who will baptize with the Spirit. You go into the world, listening for the knots, and prepare the way for the literal person of the Holy Spirit, who will come and convict of sin. This is important because I want you to see the backside. It's not just that you're preparing the way. That was last week's message. This week's message is God will finish what you start in faith every time. I believe He will change the world around your faith. Because that's how the earth binds things in heaven. There's a direct correlation, and God moves things when you move for Him. So you don't have to worry about it. If you say the wrong words, guess what? God's going to tweak their ear to hear it just like they need to. Because God is in the business of bringing His people, but He wants you to do it with Him. There is no other plan. That is the goal. Go into the world. Preach the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey. Those are the last words of Jesus. Do you know, it's funny. This idea of start and finished. If you remember, there was one with a voice coming from the desert was the start. And then Jesus says what on the cross? It is finished. Now there's a new chapter. We are that new chapter. And it will not be finished until He comes back a second time and closes out all the books and the accounts and burns the chaff and does all the things He's going to do, sets it all right. Heaven begins, then it will be finished to begin anew in an eternity with God. I'm just a minister. I'm just a man. I'm broken. I'm tore up from the floor up, as I like to say. And I just baptize you with water. But there's one coming. He wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He wants to burn all the nasty out of you. Fill you with something so wonderful that you don't even know how to express it. It just overflows in joy and in celebration because you are free. And when you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. That is what God wants for you. Isn't it about time? You gave your life to faith. That's the most important part. God always finishes what you start in faith. Because there's got to be risk, or it's not what God intends. If it doesn't come from faith, the Bible says it is sin. That is the way God works. That's the way He wants us. I know some of you today, you may not know the Lord. Maybe you're looking at me going, what are they talking about? I get it. That's okay. We've all been there. I want you to know God has tremendous love for you. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He has prepared this very day, this very message. He has prepared every interaction you have to bring you to this very point. To say to you, I want you to be my son or to be my daughter. Because you are precious to me. This very moment has been ordained throughout all eternity for you to know that. And I, in all my brokenness, has tried to just prepare the way. But the question is, are you going to respond like the crowd and say, what do I do now? Or are you going to go back into your world and just do what you do? Those of you who are not Christians, God's calling you. Those of you who are all Christians, He's got work for you to do. We all have an invitation today. A response that God has called. That is why we celebrate. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we are honored that You love us so much. It blows my mind to think that the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who is and was and is to come, the great speaker of life and all things that we know, wants to know me, wants to walk with me. Lord, I'm humbled by that. And even more that You would use me in all of my brokenness and all my imperfect husbandry. Lord, You use me to make me into a husband. You use me into a minister. You use me in so many ways. And I don't even know what You're doing sometimes. So I rejoice in that, Lord. I celebrate the fact that everything I do, if it's in faith, Lord, I know and I trust, just as John the Baptist did, that You do it and You'll finish it. And You'll do an amazing thing. Father, I pray for each of us today. Lord, would You call us to Your mission? Call us to what You've got in mind for us to do, Lord. Help us to be humble, to submit in faith. To go in power, to go in peace, and to know that Your Spirit will be right behind us. And that we are merely preparing the way for the main event. Father, we love You and I thank You for each person here today. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Amen. If you will stand with me, we're going to sing a song. And I invite you to respond quietly. You can come forward. You can meet one of our shepherds in the back. You may just set up a time this week to meet with one of us. Don't let this moment pass. Respond as God calls you.
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my soul. Fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my heart again.
Receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May you go in the power of the Holy Spirit. May you prepare the way for the Holy Spirit. May you do it with celebration and with joy. God bless you. Go in peace.